My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone. I forgot what I'm fighting for. When the weight of the world keeps you up at night, when you're running with no end in sight, thought you would never find the light you lost inside, that you could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. You could find with Christ. Been running in the dark, just trying to heal your scars. Tried everything but turned to God. 'Cause it all starts with you. If you want a breakthrough, you're gonna need God to find your truth. That you could find with Christ. If you're one with Christ.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And it is Friday, so I guess we say happy Friday. It is February 22nd. February. Let's try that again. It's March 22nd. I just went back in time. It's Friday. March 22nd. And just like that, we went through a time warp, and I'll bet you feel so much better now. People are looking around. I was probably looking for my coffee going, what in the world happened? We just lost a month. Anything's possible, though, in this day. Who knows? It's crazy. I'll tell you. We got squatters taking over people's houses. We have troops being mobilized for the eclipse. We have Israel drone striking children on Gaza Strip and saying, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. telling us that he supports Israel, even though they're trying to do everything they can to protect the children. I swear. I mean, I'm not trying to be humorous about the death of children, but this is literally Insaneville. It's just like, you say, okay, you just said what? And then you look at the real footage and you're like, huh, that's quite amazing. This is Insaneville. So, yeah, we're kind of... Yeah, RFK is off my list, just so you know. Can't do it. He's taking the wrong positions. He's forgetting what his legacy of his uncle was doing, and he forgets who killed his uncle, which somehow ties to this international blood cult of Khazarian people that title themselves as Jewish. I had the most fantastic call yesterday. In fact, it's a great call to kind of tell you about, because on... next month, near the end of the month, and I'll get you the exact date. There's a AM radio station in Philadelphia. The host's name is Andy, and he reached out to me yesterday, and we had the greatest talk. He wants me to come on their show. We're going to do like a two-hour-long interview, just conversation. And it's just awesome. His words where he goes, you know what, he says, I was Jewish, and he said, I found Jesus. I'm not kidding. This is a real story yesterday. He goes, man, once you touch Jesus, you can't go back. Literally. He's an awesome dude. So looking forward to being on that show. That's going to be fantastic. And the great thing he said there, too, is he said, what's amazing is he said, once I touch Jesus, all that I was becomes a greater part of me. And I think, see, there's the key, because I think so much of what happens in this day is we do these extremes. It's like, you're that, and now you have to become this. But that's not how God works. Everything in our life becomes part of this tapestry of who we are. And as we touch into the body of Christ, what's so amazing is we're all together there, but with all this richness of what we came from. So it's really just, it was a fantastic conversation. I'm looking forward to that interview. I'll just say I'm having a conversation. I don't really like that idea of interviews. You know that. I mean, because interviews is like one person's just talking and we want to have a conversation. Which, speaking of which, last night's show will get posted after this morning's show, but what a great conversation I had last night with Dr. Lee Merritt. If you haven't heard it, do check it out today. 2 hours, and she literally like drops more truth bombs than ever. Great research about COVID-Con. A great comment here in chat. Nothing is wasted. So true, so true. If you remember the story from Pastor Paul Cantrell, obviously the head of the Cantrell Army, they themselves are an invasion, by the way, if you didn't know that. Like 11 children, when 11 children arrive, it's like a small immigration, which I love them to death. But it is truly like the Cantrell Army, and I'm just telling you, go get a flatbed in Costco when they come. Because children of that age, you would be amazed, I have been, at the amount and volume of food that they can consume. Like literally, Costco should have a volume discount when the Cantrells come into town. They'd be like, oh, Cantrell's here? Oh, would you like to sign up for the Cantrell volume discount card? Because that's literally it. But anyway, Paul has such a great story, because in his past, Paul was involved in drugs and trafficking drugs. He came to Jesus, went to Bible college, became a pastor. He's just got a fantastic story. So I'm just telling you this story because it just is on my heart to tell you this morning, just to remind us that nothing is wasted. And that is his story. He gave his testimony. He's given it many times, but he shared his testimony for us at last year's Bard Fest in Yuba City. He did a video. And what had happened is that Christine had come down with what at the time they were calling COVID, and she was in the hospital and she was dying. She was low on oxygen, which is the classic signs of this whole nonsense that we've been subjected to. And Paul is praying, and he's literally in travail, and God says, get her ivermectin. So Paul makes his contacts back to some of his old people, and he's getting his hands on ivermectin. And if you remember, ivermectin at that time was so hard to get, thanks to the criminal cabal of doctors and nurses and pharmacists and hospital administrators and politicians and corporate heads. I just want to include, I don't want to exclude anybody that was part of that horrific moment in our history. And anyway, Paul was able to get some, and he used the methods that he had mastered so well in his past that got him in trouble. And he smuggled drugs into the hospital. He smuggled ivermectin. And he gave ivermectin to Christine. And literally within 24 hours, she's completely recovered. And when she woke up and she looked at him, she said something like, she said, are you smuggling drugs again? And Paul looked at her and he said, yes, I am, dear, for God. And he then was able to get ivermectin. And this is what's so amazing about this. Talk about God wasting nothing. And he tells the story because he got through the Christian network that he was working with up there, and people would come to his house, and he said it would crack him up. They'd come up late after night, and they'd like walk around like they're being watched by the evil eye, and they'd quietly knock on his door. Well, he got them ivermectin and taught them how to smuggle them into the hospital. He saved 65 lives, literally people that were dying that would have died at the hands and clutches of these evil people. So yes, God wastes nothing, nothing at all. So as before we get into some of this stuff, do be prepared right now. Super important. We know that they're trying to do some crazy things. I am not going to be one that's going to fan the flames that we're going to go to end times and we're going to be in the streets shooting each other and fighting off hordes of crazies. But it is going to get a little rocky. I have no doubt about it. I do believe that what we're headed into is a God-level event that is going to literally shake us to such a core that we're going to be transformed in a way of having to face who we are rather than trying to hide behind these ridiculous, divisional, ideological, retarded things that have been put in people's heads of hatred. But to get there, it's going to be bumpy. Straight up, it's going to be bumpy. Because some of this indoctrination is so deep. And I would say, honestly, we're probably looking at 3 to 6 months once this really kicks into high gear. And I think we're approaching it. And I'll emphasize that in a minute why. But do be prepared. And so it's kind of some basics of preparedness. One is always food. And food for multiples of reasons. I mean, I would be expecting to have some disruptions. And it doesn't mean that they'll be permanent. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to be having to eat rats. But you do want to make sure that you have, which I'm not going to eat a rat, just so we're clear. I don't even think in a survival sense I'd be, well, maybe, probably, could roast it. Snakes are better. But anyway, get to have an emergency food plan in place. It's smart, well beyond just the current crisis. We are living in a world that's unstable. And if we're going to be realistic, our ancestors always had food preparations in place. My grandma and grandfather had, you know, 6 months worth of food always in the house. So, and they lived pretty close to the land. So this is something we need to do. So why I say all that? Head on over to preparewithbards.com. Preparewithbards.com. And take advantage of what this offer is from My Patriot Supply. Their 3-month emergency food kit is on sale. It is a fantastic system. I love the fact that it's already sealed, ready to go, 4-layer bags, 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories a day. It's all thought out. And it gives you that baseline. You know how many calories you're going to get a day. They're great-tasting meals. They have variety. I will tell you, as someone who's spent too much time eating MREs, food can get extremely boring and mind-numbing after a while, and it's nice to have a bit of variety. These are really well-designed systems. So, again, preparewithbards.com, preparewithbards.com. Head on over there. Really, really good stuff. And I think that you'll be really impressed. All right, so let's get into some of the things that are on the horizon. I want you to listen to this piece from Edward Dowd. We've had him on the show a couple of times. Tremendous amount of respect for this man. Take a listen here.
Debt bubble is at its peak, and it's becoming apparent given what's going on across the globe that we're at the end. And due to that fact, we're going to see lots of crazy things in the financial markets. I think we're going to see the credit markets become unhinged, the equity markets become unhinged. You know, the Fed got a reprieve from COVID when they were able to, you know, the cover of COVID print 65% more money to keep this thing afloat. But we're at the end days here. And a lot of what you're seeing in the response from global governments is what I believe is setting up a system to, you know, under the guise of medical tyranny, to prevent the riots that are going to ensue once this thing all unwinds. That's my personal belief, and I watch what people do know what they say.
I think what he hits there is probably the most level comment we've heard. We have a lot of things happening to try to interpret what's going to happen, space alien invasion, fake or real. Earth is going to fall apart. It's going to split in two. We've got the Madrid fault line. The United States is going to divide. Everyone's going to die on the coasts. 1/3 of the population is going to be eliminated. Everybody that's in bunkers is going to somehow get buried and never rise again. We have solar flares, EMPs. I think that the potential for significant outages is real. And I think at the core of this, especially with the illegal alien invasion that's going on right now, I think that a lot of what you're seeing here is corporations trying to cover their tracks. And in fact, what they're creating is human shields, which is a disgusting way of hiding their absolute thievery and rape and pillage of our system. But I think this is literally what we're seeing. The idea of allowing this to come in is because everybody in our corporate circle, everybody in our government is complicit in the crime of financial rape. And they have destroyed this economy. They know that they are at the end. They have only one way to divide us, and that is to bring in mass amounts of illegal people into this country to cover their tracks so that when the thing does destabilize, what they've done is they have seeded within our borders, people that now suddenly came in for 100% promise of everything, have nothing, and now that seeding sparks a riot and revolution within. One of the things that we've talked about here, which I feel very strongly about, is we have to be prepared as communities to approach this differently. People that are coming here that are of bad intent, they need to go away in whatever way that means. If that means we need to send them home in a body bag, then that's okay with me. And I'll stand behind that. Because these people are here to do harm and to do tremendous harm to a public and to our people that are, and without any intent of contributing something positive. Let me just list some names here. And this is from Libs of TikTok. It says, you know what the real bloodbath is? It's illegals invading our country and committing murder. And these are the people here's just a list of names that they have killed. Lakin Riley, Christopher Gadd, Elizabeth Medina, Melissa and Riordan Powell. Forgive me if I misspelled the names or misspoke the names. David Hadrich, Cindy Goulding, Cheston Edwards, Deborah Brando, Nazareth Tamer Clower, Connor Holcomb, Andy Lynn Blair, Isdro Cortez, Musa Fumfana, Mafaldo Taylor, Corbin Wagner, Gretchen Gross, Aiden Clark, Michael Kunovich, Efaro Gilbert, Kayla Hamilton, Mario Rios, Ian Mateo Garcia, Deanne Hill Luckett. That's just a few. Some of those in those names included a state police officer, a young high school girl, athlete, a sheriff, a mother, young girls. There's a number of young girls here, a child of about age 4. These people that have done these crimes do not get mercy. We can, and this is one of these things that in the sense is they have to be held to the true sense of judgment in the hands of men, the appropriate judgment for taking another life. We can forgive their sins as far as how it burdens our heart, but they do not escape. Forgiveness is not, hey, I forgive you, you're coming to my table. Forgiveness is the release of the burden on my heart. I'm not going to approach them with vengeance and anger. I'm going to approach them with righteousness and justice. And so these people that have done these crimes, like there are many others that have been brought in here intentionally to do harm to the public, they need to be removed. The others that are here, this is going to be a very difficult process for our country because there's many that have come here and they may have come here on a false promise, like you're going to get free housing, free food, free travel. But at the core of this, we're going to have to face the fact as a nation that it's not going to be easy just to cast these people out. And there is this is not a popular view. The question is, though, what are we going to do with this humanitarian crisis that we're going to be shackled with? And I guess I would even rephrase that wording because it's not just being shackled, it's we can transform that. Because what we have to do in our communities is to look out for those in desperation. But here's where it gets bigger, because we're very willing as a public to turn a blind eye, to say nothing to government as they house these illegals and give them all the resources. We're equally willing, and I would argue more willing, to turn our back on the people that are dealing with drug addictions and homelessness. And somehow we find it more palatable to accept illegals coming into our community than we do dealing with the problem that has been here and growing from an organic sense, which is the homelessness and drug addictions, abandoned youth, abandoned women, women shelters, rapes of women. I can go on a list of things. So if anything, what we're facing here is a judgment within our hearts by God. And it's a profound moment right now in our culture that as we are facing the invasion, God is literally bringing the world to us. And I think that we are in a point now, and I truly feel this, that we have to make a choice. Are we going to stand in that body of Christ and do what we should have done all along, which is to deal with those that are of lesser, that have been rejected, the underlings of society? Are we going to start dealing with them all? Or are we going to try to start distinguishing? It's like, no, you're not. You're less of a God's child than he is. That's the problem we're having. So there is evil. There's no question. And that has to be filtered out. And the only way you filter out evil in an unconventional warfare sense is to get in and know what you're dealing with. You have to know your neighbors. You have to know your brother and sister in the community. That has to be. I am not one that's going to openly judge illegals coming into this nation. Let me just tell you a firsthand story. And this is real. This takes me back to 2003. I was needing to hire labor in Portland, Oregon. And I had my company up there 2000 to 2001 to 2005, end of 2005. It was 5 years. I ran a high-end remodeling company up in Portland, Oregon. And I was needing labor. So I went through an intentional act of hiring, of trying to hire Americans. And when I say that, I mean like white American, black American. I could not find a single person, and I was offering a very good wage, almost $5 to $6 an hour more than the current rate. Nobody wanted to do my work because it was always the same thing. Your work is too hard. I did some hard, heavy lifting work. We did great work. It was hard work, and some of the work that I did was actually featured in Better Homes and Gardens, and it was the type of work of building outdoor living spaces. So it was a lot of hard digging, fence building. I did one fence for a couple. I'm not kidding. I did this fence on a quarter acre. It was, the fence alone was $30,000, okay, and that was at the time. So my clientele was very high-end. I loved the work I did. I did very good work, and I needed quality talent to support this. Myself, like every other group of people in that market space, had a hard time finding labor that wanted to do the hard work. I ended up hiring two quote-unquote undocumenteds, okay? And in Portland, there was a lot of latitude for it, just to be very honest with you, in Oregon. They were the best employees I have ever had. And they worked like crazy. They, in fact, the only thing they asked me is, can we not take a day off? And I said, no, you have to have a day off. I need a day off. That's why. They would work 6 days a week, always show up on time, work tirelessly all day. So here's my point. It changed my paradigm. And I'm like, okay, you can't judge just outwardly because one person's one way or another. And I know this runs against the grain, but the problem is we have a massive labor shortage in this nation that we're going to face and have to face the reality of. And whether we like it or not, whatever has happened to the people, which is a whole nother discussion, are they disabled by COVID? Are they killed by COVID? Or are they just not wanting to work? The hard labor jobs of this nation are not easy to fill. So we have a dual problem. The problem we have from the ethical point of view in our corporations is they're not trying to hire people of equal talent. This is where they're trying to use this DEI nonsense, which is a cover for them to be able to break the back of labor, reduce the labor costs, hire cheap labor, and turn these people into slaves. That is absolutely wrong. The culprit and the criminal in this act is not the illegals coming across, other than the criminals that are coming across and the terrorists that want to do harm to the nation. Those people need to go. The criminal act are the corporations that are manipulating this, making promises to these people that they're going to get everything free in the knowing that this economy is going to collapse so that they can turn a riot into this country. So how do you stop that? You stop that by literally being prepared as a community to start reaching out and helping each other, lifting each other up. Many of these people don't want to be here. They come here because they have no other option. If you talk to people who come from Mexico to work, they will tell you they'd much rather be home. Many of them, not all, but many of them, they're coming here to make money for their families and they love their country. So there's a natural breaking apart of this quote unquote dysfunctional marriage we have with illegals by virtue of them simply being able to go back home with opportunity. But what's happening here is the whole manipulation of the system. And the, what they're trying to avoid having us look at is who is the real enemy. I can start with every member of Congress. I can start with every member of DC's cabal. I can start with every single company that's in the process that's doing this, which are most of them are under the control of BlackRock. I can tell you that every single one of them is criminal that is in those board of directors and that CEO. And I can tell you that every single member of Wall Street that's supporting this by investment and every person that's making money on this in their 401ks and their investment funds, they're part of the criminal problem. So the hand of justice is much different. And what they want us to look at is they want us to look at these illegals and go, you're an enemy, you're evil. And I'm telling you, that is not what God is putting on my heart. And I will tell you, that word is coming with many other people as well. It's, we need to reach out to them. We need to evangelize to them, lead them to Christ, and teach them about the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution. And why? Because they're not always going to be here, and some will. I mean, the fact of the matter is once they get into jobs, it's very hard to displace them. I don't care what is being promised by a roundup of 22 million or whatever. And then you have the question of like, okay, that's great. Where are you going to send them? Because Mexico's already said they don't want them back. And I'm not telling you that leverage can't happen, but there is a humanitarian crisis we have here. And it's real. And so if we're going to simply say as a country, well, you need to go and then we don't need to worry about you anymore, we're losing the value of human life again. And that's something that we've already lost 400,000 children magically across this border, and no one lifts a finger. We're like, oh, okay, that's too bad. As a nation, I'm not saying we as people here, but as a nation, we sit back and we go, oh, that's too bad. 400,000 kids have gone disappear. I mean, and airlines, I mean, you sit here and I've been at the airports. I'm sure you have too. You see these lines of illegals going up, and with children, you're like, okay, you do realize, Mr. and Mrs. Desk Agent, you do realize, Mr. and Mrs. Pilot, you do realize everybody here that's is getting a ticket for these people. I don't care if DHS is telling you to do it or not. You are now involved with human sex trafficking. You're moving these kids. You don't even know if this chaperone, this kid is real. These are the big crimes that are going on. So I'm just saying as a community, because this whole thing solves itself through community action and local action. It doesn't solve itself by trying to figure out how the puzzle palace of the federal government is ever going to work right, because it won't. It's broken beyond measure. And what we have to get to is people of taking charge of this, reaching out. And this is the hardest work in an unconventional warfare environment. It's the hardest work. Kicking in a door, shooting somebody in the face, takes a lot of tactical preparation, a lot of trigger skill, and it takes a lot of reaction skill. But in the function of eliminating a human life, it's a heck of a lot easier to eliminate a human life than it is to literally sit down and talk to that human life, get to understand who they are, understand where we are different, and understand we are the same, and start to work with them to bring them over. That's those spaces of gray. Because I'm telling you, I've sat with what we would typically call some major dirtbags, and it is possible when we spend time to understand what they want and what we need and to broker something that is better than both, believe it or not. Done it. So, I mean, if I was talking out of concept and theory, I could be easily rebuked. I'm not. I've gone to places where literally it's impossible to see peace, and we've walked out with peace with the most incredible differences between people once we understood some common dialogue. Does the peace last? I know in one region it lasted for a year. But that's not on me at that point, right? So these are important perspectives to have, because we're dealing with a massive amount of problems in this nation. And this elite has done things that are rather profound. One of the groups I was part of in a symmetric warfare group was the subterranean group. And it sounds like we hear about subterranean warfare, and it always deals with like kids and dumbs and lizard heads. Look, none of that I can ever prove. What I can tell you is the issue of like what these elites have done is in terms of building deep underground bunker systems and massive systems under our feet. Yeah, it's real. That I can tell you. I mean, just consider this, and this is a fairly accurate analysis somebody's done. 10,000, they call deep underground military bases is a misnomer. call them tunnel systems. So 10,000 tunnel systems on Earth, probably so. The U.S. has about 1,800 of them. I would agree with that. And it's not a problem that is easy to solve. These are real issues. I mean, one of the few things people realize is the country that used to be Yugoslavia, which is now Serbia, Kosovo, and Bosnia, they have a center sitting in Kosovo, an engineering center that develops deep underground hardened engineering facilities. And all of their power systems, all of their power grid systems have been built deep underground. I've been in them. It's fantastic, actually. The engineering's amazing. Those people were being hired by countries like Iran and China to build their deep systems. This is all very real. So we have we're undoing a labyrinth of insanity that has been built around us and on our soil. And we're having to ask big questions like, you know, where are these people going? Where are children going? And this is where they lead to these conclusions and say, well, children are going underground. I cannot verify that. And in spite of pictures they say they have, there's no verification of those pictures as well. What I can tell you is that there exist major facilities under our feet, and if they're there, they're not there for our benefit. I guarantee you that. So you're dealing with an ability for these lizard heads to literally slip down and get underneath our feet and live and try to put us in a place of riot and in this destabilization and try to live in the comfort of their lounge chair that they've got 500 feet under the ground. That's the evil we're dealing with, okay? And it has to be rooted out. But it's not going to be rooted out if we play on their script, which is to allow this spillover to occur. And they're doing everything they can to try to prevent us from waking up. Obviously, one of the hottest buttons going out there right now, if you haven't been paying attention, which I hope you have, is, again, they're trying to do the gun grab. They're trying to find everything around it. Here's one that I was really surprised at. I've become part of a new group, which I'm going to talk a lot more about here in the coming weeks. It's called Hunter Nation, hunternation.org, hunternation.org. I'd really recommend you check this out. This is a great group. They are, and I mean this, they are Christian. They, in fact, the meeting yesterday that I was invited in by Ted and Shemaine Nugent to join this group, the meeting started with a prayer, which I was very humbled by. And the entire discussion was, how are we going to ultimately save our faith? They are hunters. They're fantastic. They are strong faith people. It's wonderful. But as they're pointing out, like one of the back doors right now to trying to take the guns out of people's hands is to eliminate hunting. Well, hunting's hard to stop because it runs head on into the Second Amendment. It runs headlong into the NRA, which frankly, we should vote Ted Nugent as head of NRA. That would solve our problems in this country. Because NRA's been too many, the leadership in NRA has been compromised. But here's what they're doing. And it's so stealth and it's so devious and so evil. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but like one of the things they're trying to do is repopulate the gray wolf and the black wolf here in the United States. Why would they do that? Because everywhere the wolf goes in, it massively kills off the deer and elk population. Why is that important? Because if there's no deer and elk population, there's no need to issue hunter's license. So under their wildlife control management stuff. So if hunter's licenses aren't issued, then there's no purpose for people to argue that they need to hunt or have guns. This is literally what they're doing right now. Okay? So this is the insanity of what they're doing. And by the way, it is illegal to shoot one of these things, these wolves. And I've said this before, and I don't care. I really don't even care if I get investigated for this comment. Because there is a wolf that they have got tagged in my county, and maybe more, and they didn't want to admit it until somebody pressed them on it. And then they're like, oh, yeah, we do have one of those here. And they're telling ranchers, like myself, small even though I am, that we can't do anything about that wolf. Wolves kill calves. And unlike coyotes, they're vicious. And if it's not going to be a predator that we can manage, then I guarantee you that predator is going to get accidentally run over by a car, a Jeep, a truck, something. Because this isn't the way we live. But this is how they're trying to change society, force people off the land. There's an issue that happened a number of years ago, which is another reason they're so concerned, especially with the vote and this reveal of what the economy is. And we're watching this economy collapse. Here's a quick story to kind of remind us of our roots not too long ago and the importance of where 2A became the critical part of reforming a local community. Take a listen.
Would you believe that a small Tennessee town turned into a war zone against crooked politicians? In August 1946, Athens became the scene of a showdown between returning World War II veterans and Sheriff Paul Cantrell's corrupt political machine. Fed up with Cantrell's dirty tactics like voter intimidation and rigged elections, the veterans formed the GI Nonpartisan League to take him down. When deputies blocked African-American voters from casting their ballots, things got ugly fast. The vets, armed and determined, assaulted the county jail where the rigged ballot boxes were kept. And after a tense standoff and gunfire exchange, they blew the jail open to retrieve the ballots. Deputies gave in, and the vets' candidates were declared winners, sparking reform in the county. Amen to the Second Amendment.
Amen to the Second Amendment. Huge. Really huge. So this is something that they are critically afraid of right now, for obvious reasons, because the vote is massively rigged still. They know that they're doing everything they can to cheat. There's a lot of things going on here that we have to be very aware of and why they're trying to go after the guns. And again, I say this many times, the real fight here is not going to be won by the trigger, but they are afraid of the consequence, especially as people come to the realization of what they have done. California has reduced, has already said it can't pay out a lot of its pensions. It had to reduce the pension by 50% because they don't have the money. Why? Because they pilfered it away. Teachers, unions, and others are going to be deeply surprised when they get out there and they don't have the money. The word that I keep saying here, that everything, all the research I've done and it continued is pointed to, even when I just started with Edward Dowd at the beginning, these monies and these pensions and these 401ks are just, it's mythical. Right now, there's still a latitude to say, move your money from where it is to gold and silver. But if you're in a pension, you can't do that. And they took that money away. That's one of the reasons they're talking so much about 401ks to take your money. The system's falling apart. We know that. And as you start to get a collapse and you get a lack of trust in the system, what ends up happening? They lose control. So something big is coming. I don't think there's any question about it. I don't know what it looks like. I'm not going to sit here and fan the flames of doom and gloom. I will say that we're coming up on the horizon of this slaughtering of the three heifers. I'm assuming they're going to go ahead with that. They've already built the white pearl or marble altar so that the whole world can watch the blood of the calves run down this thing, and they can watch the calves being physically burned, that they can watch everybody washing themselves in the ash and of the calf and whatever else. I guarantee you, I don't even have to say it, you want to watch PETA go ballistic and like thermal nuclear, wait till this happens. This is going to be another level of insanity. And the thing is that most likely the world is going to get to witness one of the greatest pagan rituals we have ever imagined. And I mean this. And I have this, I just get this sense that it's going to be part of a massive awakening. I could be wrong, but I guarantee you that if it is going to happen, there's going to be a ton of people shocked. We haven't been in a pagan world where we get to globally watch blood like flowing off the altar steps. Well, guess what? That's what they want. That's what they're planning. And I will tell you, if that's going to happen, it's going to be real. It's not going to be, you know, it's going to be like, oh, wow, this isn't like fake. But there we go. We are definitely in a bizarre world. And it's a world where we are dealing with the rise of mentally insane that have led so much of our government. Underneath the cover of the, underneath the tyranny of the pedophiles, which there are many, and they are in the elite. And these pedophiles are the ones that run our government. They call themselves various things in secret societies, but at the end of the day, they pilfer children, they traffic children, they molest, they torture, they sacrifice children for their bloodthirst. I want to play this short piece to you, just kind of give you a perspective. This was done actually probably 20 years ago. Take a listen.
All members of the Council on Foreign Relations are Illuminist. Members of the Trilateral Commission, members of the Club of Rome, the Bohemian Skull and Bones Society. Fraternity, yes. The Bohemian Society. Here's a group of presidents up there with black robes, like Klansmen, sitting around this huge bonfire at the Bohemian Grove, We have color pictures of this.
Yeah, we have color pictures of the presidents of the United States, all living presidents today, and dressed in large black robes with pointed headdresses like the Ku Klux Klan, in front of a large open fire pit, a pit of fire. And the article that appeared said that it was after 12 midnight, all the American presidents line up on this altar and worship the owl. And they said the reason why the owl is used in their worship is because it is wise, because it is able to see things in the dark. There's a message there. The owl is wise because it sees things in the dark. And that's why the presidents and the heads of state and the heads of the government that we live under all meet at 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night to worship the owl. This is history.
Yeah, but if you don't believe it, we will come back and do another show, and Jordan will pull out the
all
picture.
The pictures. Yes, I want to see.
And you can
picture.
Zero in on Gerald Ford, who has.
So it's important to appreciate that Alex Jones was also one of the early ones that got into Bohemian Grove, and this is yet another one of these stories from that time. Nobody listened. By the way, if you're wondering about the owl, which is interesting, the owl takes you to Ukraine. It's all part of this old blood cult that came out of Ukraine, which is the Khazarians. So it's not just the it can see in the dark, it's also that blood cult. Now, what we can see has happened here is we've got pedophiles and these elites and pedophiles that are literally seize control of our government. And underneath them, they've placed in place the people with extreme mental disorders that are making the policies that end up amplifying what the pedophiles need. Here is an amazing example of just how insane these people are. This is let's just say it's a WePATH, WPATH, certified clinician, Laura Jacobs, LCSW, WePATH SOC Revision Community. It all has to do with this transgender conversion. Take a listen to this insanity. This is nuts.
Now, I identify as trans and gender queer, and to me that means I like to play with gender, I like to problematize gender. I like to confront gender norms in how I present and how I move through the world. I feel female and male. I feel both and neither one. And so many of the labels that we use in this area feel equally authentic and inauthentic. And I simply can't tell where one gender ends and another begins. Medical interventions allow some of us to change our primary and secondary sex characteristics. We have phalloplasty that creates a penis and a scrotum and testicles. We have vaginoplasty that creates a vagina and a vulva. We have chest masculinization and breast augmentation, all of which create bodies that are readable to outsiders, but it's clear that cisgender bodies are still the reference point. But will technology give us options that are artistic and creative? Artificial limbs even now can transmit rudimentary sensory data back to the wearer. And it seems to me that a fully functional, artificial, sensate penis is maybe not that far off. But do we have to stick to penis and vagina norms? Can we have genitalia that look like flowers or abstract sculpture? Can we have multiple? Can they be interchangeable? And what about other areas of the body?
How could I say? They're happy to take your children in and give them some advice. These people are for real. And these are the people, the absolute insanity of the insane asylum has been let out. There is a great French film called The King of Hearts. And literally, the whole film is about the war that was happening, and it takes place somewhere early in World War II, maybe World War I. And there is an insane asylum in a town, okay? And what ends up happening is that in the process of the French and the Germans trying to kill each other, someone blows open the gate in the insane asylum. And in between the troops moving in and around, the people of the asylum escape and go into the village and start playing out all the roles. They fill the shops. They start acting like the town is alive, but it's all alive now and filled with people from the asylum. And then the troops come in, and these are the sane ones, right? And they start killing each other. And the end of the story is this: the people of the asylum look at all what's going on, and they literally go back into the asylum and lock themselves back in. And it's like, yep, there you go. See, we are living in an asylum, and they have taken these freaks, these weirdos, these psychopaths, these people with brain damage, and demonically controlled. I'm going to be clear about this because all these people have demons in them. And they've put them in charge. This is where you end up with your head of the school board and your school board council that literally wants to sit there and tell you that we need to have pornography in there for the children. These are the people that have assumed these transgender care clinics. These are the same dark, evil people that are going to sit there and tell you, yeah, we have to abort a child at birth. I mean, it's just insane. But as a society, we've become so numbed by it. And the crazy part about this is how easy this is. In sum, probably the elite of the elites, we get down to it. We're not dealing with more than several million people that are really running this insanity. They get highlighted in clips like this. They get put into strategic positions, but everybody's going along with it. That's the part. Why do we keep acting in the play? Why do we keep acting in the play of the insane? That's the question we all need to be asking. The illegal problem. We have border control agents down here, other than Texas, border control agents down here that literally from one president to the next will either open the border or close the border based on a pen swipe on an executive order, and they will do nothing to follow the Constitution. So instead of doing the right thing, they're like, well, I have to wait for a new president to come in as we get millions coming across the border. We have literally psychopaths that are taking positions in doctor's offices. We saw that all over the place with COVID. Let's just be clear there. Where they literally are putting people on death protocols and they're like, well, that's all we could do. Had a venter and put her on Remdesivir and away she goes and she's dead. Oops, sorry. That's another COVID death. We're dealing with people that are psychopathic. And we're dealing with people with brain problems, and we are dealing with cadre around them that are doing nothing. And as communities, we're always guilty if we're not doing something. We're not speaking up. We're part of that problem. And I think that's the part that stuns me daily. It's like, what happened to the spine in America that stood up? I mean, take a listen to this. I mean, not listen, but let me read this article to you. Just insane. American Cancer Society blames traditional values for some higher cancer rates. Christian conservatives in the United States are, at this point, used to institutions blaming them for problems that plague minority groups. But the American Cancer Society's recent report might just take this trend to its most absurd lengths yet. As reported by Fox News, and this is in the Gateway Pundit, by the way, the American Cancer Society has written and released an 88-page report that seems to place blame on traditional values for increasing the stressors that lead to folks in the LGBT community to develop cancer at greater rates. According to the Cancer Society's new report, exposure to these stressors may lead to increased prevalence of mental health or substance use disorders and unhealthy behaviors that increase cancer risk. In other words, the demons are losing their mind. And in so doing, they're ruining the body temple. This is the level of insanity. And I guess it's amazing to me that we even have anybody going, okay, if I read that as a human being, and I am reading it, I'd be like, I would never come near any cancer doctor in my life, period. It would just tell me, like, you all are crazy. Out of your mind, insane. It's unbelievable. So, I mean, we are dealing with a need to start unveiling this and pulling it back and getting into the real heart of the true threat and starting to get real about it. And with this, we have the constant purging, the pouring out of truth as people try to cling on to the old ways of thinking. This morning, I read the headlines from yesterday, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And this is the headline in the Jerusalem Post: Hamas to blame for Gaza war, any country would act like Israel. What he just said is any country, is going to be able to be willing to kill 13,000 plus children. Drone strike, this footage from Al Jazeera that came out yesterday shows Israel flying a drone over four youths and drone striking them. And we are seeing Gaza now. Gaza's been bulldozed. There's hardly anything left. But don't worry, we're there with aid to help give aid. And Israel is out, like, literally decimating 13,000 plus children and 35,000 people in this war. And one in five children now doesn't have a limb. But according to Robert Kennedy Jr., any country would act like this if they were faced with Hamas. It's unbelievable. It's disturbing. And I will tell you that we're taking it back to where it always goes, and we're going to have to go back to AIPAC, which is the same group that got involved with Kennedy when Kennedy said, no, you have to register. And then suddenly, just magically, like 2 weeks later, Kennedy was dead. Interesting. We have to open our eyes. That's the bottom line. And we have to be seeing things for what they are, not the way we want them to be. And we have to start realizing that we are in a play, in a sense. It's the only way you can describe it. And it's not acting, that's not repeating the cue mantra of, you know, you're in a movie. It's the fact that we literally are being scripted by them to perform a certain way, and we're complying. We have to defy. Defiance is that of is being loyal to God, because these are institutions of men that are so corrupt, and we're so willing to participate and so willing to accept these abnormalities instead of just going to Scripture and saying, this is wrong, this is evil, I rebuke it, and I will not walk in it, and being just that strong. If our communities in the whole were just that strong, just to have the authority to speak that into the world and say, that's enough, I'm not going to do this anymore, our world would change overnight. Here's one for you, just as a kind of a, I should call this consumer alert. This is pretty crazy. In case you thought that you were helping the earth with these new light bulbs. Remember what President Trump did when he first came into office? He made it legal again to sell incandescent light bulbs. And then when Biden came in, one of his first acts was to undo that. You have to ask yourself why. Take a listen.
So today we're going to talk about how we're building back better by banning these healthy bulbs to replace them with fluorescent, non-earth-friendly bulbs and LEDs, which are linked to cataracts and emit radio frequencies. So we all know the thing about LEDs are going to save us money. Well, how much? 11 cents per kilowatt per hour. Well, if I had an incandescent bulb, I would pay the exact same price. The only difference is this incandescent bulb might last a little bit less than this LED bulb. Now, what's interesting about the back of these boxes, it talks about how all these LED bulbs are working on a radio frequency. See this? Harmful interference to radio or television or people, which is not mentioned. And it actually talks about the FCC rules. Now remember, the FCC cannot be sued for any damages caused by radio frequencies. So then you have these fluorescent bulbs, which are marketed as earth-friendly and last five times longer, which is actually not true. But what's interesting is, check this. Lamps contain mercury. They also contain lead and other hazardous materials, but they're low, so it's not a big deal if you just throw them in the garbage. But this is earth-friendly, which is funny, and also emit radio frequencies, which can disrupt radios, televisions, wireless telephones, remote controls, and people. So then we go to the bulbs that they want to ban, which actually last 3,000 hours or more. And if you notice, when you turn this back around just like this, there's no warning label that talks about how it emits radio frequencies or disrupts life.
Interesting. Huh. And then you have to go back to what Trump did when he first came to office. That's one of those strangest things if you don't understand what just happened, what we just talked about. Because why would someone coming into office make a big deal about incandescent bulbs? And why would the incoming president, the replacement, the fake one, the one that's not Biden but acts like Biden, the one that doesn't look like Biden but apparently is Biden, and the one that everyone believes is Biden even though his facial features are all wrong, that one. He walks like a robot. Who knows what he is? But anyway, why would he change that and people think that's okay? Because our green weenies out here literally are brain damaged. And it's coming out more and more about this whole green renewable culture, how much more toxic and how much more dangerous it is. From EMF to the whole principles of, like, the incandescent bulbs versus the digital bulbs, basically. Why did they want them? Because when you understand how they work on this new grid they're developing, they transmit a frequency. These bulbs, fluorescence and the LEDs, are able to map out homes. It's part of their total surveillance grid. When they use these frequencies and they tie it in with their master AI, it becomes like a satellite in your home. They can literally map out your home and your movements within it through these light bulbs. Yep, sounds pretty crazy until you see it. And then you're like, wow, insane. And everybody's out here going, yes, yes, please, we need to help the earth. We need to put more toxic things in my home. And I need to cause myself more brain damage, more cancers. Because then I can feel guilty about affecting the LGBTQ community because of the toxic things I'm saying about Christ, and it's causing them cancers. I mean, I'm serious. I hear that. I'm like, I got to speak more about Jesus, because that means those demons are literally having trouble today. Cast them out. Rebuke them. Send them on their way. Amen. I'll tell you right now. Patriots, it's an insane world. The only way through this, in my opinion, and I stand strongly on this with a little bit of experience here, it's local. Local action. Local action has got to be the way forward. Precinct strategies, get involved locally, get involved in your churches, wake people up, speak truth to power, don't hesitate, and don't be afraid of standing alone, because you're not, you're with Christ. And we start bringing that power to bear upon the communities and start getting people to realize what's at stake, we're getting some traction. Have to do it. It's the only way we're going to change. And with that, locally, we can control elections. Maybe we have a corrupt state, but if enough people stand up and you get a strong sheriff and a strong county commission, the state can go pound sand. And ultimately, that's where we have to be. Our state institutions, many of them are corrupt. They've been as vilely corrupted as our federal government. And most of those people, at least in Oregon anyway, I can tell you, there's a good portion of those people that literally deserve a hemp rope, a walk off a short plank, or an injection of some kind, like all the mRNA shots at once, because they're all part of the crime. So, got to get strong, and we got to hold that line, and we have to understand that there is a right and there's a wrong, and it's not all gray like they want us to believe, because under gray, everything exists, and we get right back to where we are faster than we got here. I'll tell you right now. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, we come to you today just blessed, and as we are each and every day, humbled before the throne, and just ask you for a great blessing of thanks or on our hearts as we thank you for all that you do. I mean, just a peaceful blessing in our heart today. This is a heart of the warrior, the meek warrior that we're praying into today, to literally give us the strength to walk with the joy of Christ, to know the authorities in which we walk in, but the authorities which we walk in, to bring those into the world, that what people see within us is the deeper part of that relationship in Christ. Let them see the light of Christ shine through. And in so doing, let them be inspired to seek out that which they may not understand, but they do feel. And so, Father, we're just playing a blessing upon all those this morning to just have that spark and that light of Jesus within them. And Jesus, we just ask you to walk with us, be with us, spend the day with us. We've set the table and we want to dine. Come on in, sit down, let's eat. And let's have an amazing walk in these days now, where we are simply walking in the confidence, the affirmation, the beauty, the glory, the preciousness of what all you are and what the cross represented, the blood. So Father, we just pray this blessing upon all, that this is a time to awaken, a time to stand firm, a time to lift our eyes up and say, yes, Father, to say amen, our time to fall on our knees and spend time in that moment each day to repent for the sins we have done, to stand back up and to walk mighty alongside of the throne. To understand the power of repentance, to understand the power of forgiveness, to understand the power of love. These are the mighty weapons of this war. Understand that literally before us, no enemy can succeed as we stand in those pillars. And as we dig deep within ourselves to bind and cast out doubt, that let no doubt be there, for that's the place the enemy comes in. And when we are carrying burdens of our past, to get rid of those shames, because through the cross, the sacrifice on the cross, that shame was washed away and healed. But we have to accept that in our heart. And fear, Father, you've told us 365 times that fear should not exist. It is literally a sin. Let us bind fear, cast it out, and just tuck ourselves tight into you to understand truly that there is no reason to fear anything when we walk with you. So, Father, we just lift up all this morning. We say this prayer with humility and blessings and praise and thanks for all that you bring. And we bless everybody in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, like wage war in the name of Jesus. That's what's awesome. Sometimes we got to flip tables, but most of the times you just got to raise your hand and declare it in the name of Jesus and cast it out. Demons can't stand that. And that's the best right there. So there we go. Patriots, have a blessed day. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who moved forward. And so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots.
We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.